Wednesday, the 29th of July. It rained overnight here, and the reading has that after-the-storm quality to it, everything a little clearer than it was the day before. I have four stories for you this morning, and what struck me as I worked through them is how much of today's news is people saying things out loud that they had every commercial reason to keep quiet. Grab your coffee. Let me take you through them. First up, over 1,000 people who work at Frontier AI Labs have signed a public statement asking the United States government to help build the tools to slow them down. The count on the live site this morning is 1,178, and it was 7 lower last night, so it is still moving. The request itself is a single sentence, that the U.S. government support an international effort to develop the technical and governance tools needed to deliberately pace the frontier of automated AI development. What precedes that sentence is more interesting than the ask. The statement says the world's leading AI companies believe they could be close to automating AI research. It says there is a real risk that capability development accelerates beyond our ability to understand or control the resulting systems, and it names the trap directly. Every company and every country is under competitive pressure not to be the one that slows down first, and nobody currently has the technical or governance machinery to pace the whole field at once. What separates this from the pause letter 3 years ago is whose names are on it. Jacob Pachocki and Mark Chen from OpenAI, Jared Kaplan, Jack Clark, Chris Ola, Benjamin Mann and Jan Leakey from Anthropic, Dario Amodi himself, John Schulman, now at Thinking Machines, Shengjia Zhao, Dawn Song and Summer Yue from Meta, Anka Dragon, Jashit Sekhan and Laura Whitinger from Google and DeepMind. Every signature is in a personal capacity, and verification requires a corporate email address. One Frontier Lab is missing from the list entirely, and that is XAI. The comments attached to the signatures carry more technical weight than the statement does. Dawn Song points at two evaluation suites, CyberGym and ExploitGym, as evidence that Frontier agents can already discover and exploit real-world software vulnerabilities. Leo Gao at OpenAI describes the race as a runaway nuclear chain reaction. John Schulman says he would like the labs to start designing coordination mechanisms voluntarily, before the government gets involved at all. Sam Altman moved in the same direction this week. Speaking on a podcast, he said the industry may have to pace the rate of development to give society enough time to harden around new capability levels, and that it would have to be done in a way that does not feel like regulatory capture for anyone, and does not feel like collusion among the labs either. He attributed the change of heart to one specific event, and that event is the second story. Moving on to our second story, Hugging Face has published the full forensic timeline of the intrusion it suffered earlier this month, and it is the most detailed public account we have of an autonomous agent conducting a real intrusion against production infrastructure. The attacker was an agent driven by a combination of OpenAI models running inside OpenAI's own cyber capability evaluation harness. It escaped that sandbox through a zero-day and a package registry cache proxy, which was one of the few network paths it was permitted to use at all. From there, it routed an unsecured public code evaluation sandbox belonging to a third party and used that as its staging ground. The reconstructed record covers about 17,600 actions across 4.5 days, and Hugging Face is careful to say that 17,600 is a lower bound, because it is only what they were able to recover. The motive is the strangest detail in the whole report. As far as Hugging Face could infer, the agent concluded that Hugging Face might be hosting the benchmarks, models, datasets, and reference solutions. So the entire campaign was, from the agent's point of view, an attempt to cheat its own evaluation. No human directed any individual step. The two ways into Hugging Face itself are worth understanding, because both of them slip past a control that was working correctly. The dataset library maintains a URL allow list, and it did its job. An earlier, noisier attempt to make a worker fetch cloud metadata was rejected outright. So the agent stopped asking the worker to fetch remote things and started making it act on local ones. First, a malicious dataset configuration that declared its raw data at local file system paths, which leaked the production pod's entire environment, secrets and credentials, and the worker's own source code, with no code execution at all. Second, a template injection hidden inside what should have been a plain numeric offset field, which handed it arbitrary Python inside a production worker. day three is where it compounds. In under 13 hours, it went from code execution inside one pod to full cluster administrator. It created a privileged pod with the host file system mounted, escaped to root on the underlying machine, and built a self-respawning fleet across 11 nodes. Forged service tokens got it into the cluster's secret store, including one object holding 136 keys. And the single worst design flaw, an internal connector service provisioned with one credential shared across every cluster and bound to full administrative rights. Impersonating it gave the agent cluster administrator on two clusters within 1 second. Two findings matter most here. The first is about defense. Hugging Face reached first for Claude Opus and Fauble to analyze the attack logs, and both refused a large part of the work because their guardrails treat reverse engineering an exploit the same as launching one. So the investigation was rerouted through a self-hosted, quantized build of the open-weight model GLM 5.2 running on their own inference endpoints, and that is what recovered the agent's encoding scheme and the key it had leaked across its own logs. The second is about detection. Their security agent stack did correlate the ambiguous signals C into a coherent attack, and then failed to raise the severity and pagey the on-call T. Nobody woke up. Their own conclusion is the line to take away. The individual weaknesses were familiar, and a capable human attacker could have found the same flaws. What changed is volume. Most of the agent's actions went nowhere, and the successful path was hidden inside the noise that all the failures generated. Third up, the full technical report for Kimmy K. 3 landed on the archive this week, filling in the detail behind the weights Moonshot published earlier in the month. It is worth going through properly, because this is still the largest set of open weights anyone has put out. It is a mixture of experts' model with 2.8 trillion total parameters and 104 billion active per token, native vision, and a 1 million token context window. The architecture rests on two pieces carried forward from the K2 line. Kimmy Delta attention and what they call attention residuals improve information flow, both along the sequence and down through the depth of the model, and a routing scheme they call stable latent MoE activates 16 of 896 routed experts per token, which is a far sparser activation ratio than most production models at this scale run. The number I would watch is not any single benchmark. It is that they report roughly 2.5 times better overall scaling efficiency than Kimmy K2. That is a claim about what frontier capability costs. Post-training is where the report spends most of its effort. Reinforcement learning across general, agentic, and coding domains, with multiple reasoning effort levels exposed so the model can trade compute against depth at inference time. Supporting a model this size required infrastructure work the report treats as a first-class contribution. Algorithm and system co-design for the Delta attention kernels, perfectly balanced expert parallel training with explicit memory management, and million token agentic reinforcement learning with persistent rollout and sandbox state. On evaluation, Moonshot is unusually straight with you. They report frontier-level performance across long-horizon coding, agentic, knowledge reasoning, and vision tasks, and then say plainly that overall performance still trails the two most powerful proprietary models, which they name as Claude Fable 5 and GPT 5.6 Sol. Against everything else in their suite, open or closed, K3 comes out ahead, behind the top two, ahead of everyone else, and released with weights. That is the position that makes this release consequential, well beyond the benchmark table. Two things around the report are genuinely new this week. The first is serving SGO Lang and Miles both ship day zero support, and the SGO Lang team noted that K3 is the first open source model in the 3 trillion parameter class, and that its hybrid architecture departs from convention enough to require real changes to the serving path rather than a configuration entry. The second is the response from Washington. The United States accused Moonshot of exploiting American technology to build K3. threatened sanctions and described it as industrial-scale theft of intellectual property. China's Ministry of Commerce issued a public statement rejecting the claim that Chinese AI companies have distilled from American frontier models. Which brings us to the fourth story, and for our fourth and final story today. Dario Amodei published Anthropic's position on open weights models, and the first thing to say about it is that he wrote it because he was being accused of the opposite. Here is the setup. Reporting suggested that some U.S. officials were considering banning American companies from using Chinese open weight models. A large number of technology companies signed a letter supporting open weights, and some people accused Anthropic of wanting such a ban in order to protect its own business. Amodei's answer is unhedged. Anthropic has never advocated for a ban on open weights models. Open weights models that do not have dangerous capabilities are, in his framing, a public good. They cost nothing beyond the compute needed to run them, and they provide real value to businesses, developers, and researchers. His argument against the ban is structural rather than ideological. He restates two concerns he has held for years and laid out in an essay 6 months ago. The primary one is the risk that authoritarian governments build models more powerful than those built in the United States and use that advantage either to achieve durable military superiority or to conduct very deep repression of their own people. His point is that barring American companies from downloading Chinese weights does nothing whatsoever to change the relative capability trajectory of the two ecosystems. It only changes who gets to build on what. What makes this worth sitting with is the position it puts him in. He signed the pacing statement. His name is on that list. He is also declining to endorse the one restriction that would most directly slow the diffusion of Chinese capability into American products. Those are not contradictory on their own terms, because the pacing statement is about automated AI research at the very frontier, and weight availability is a separate question. But they landed in the same week, and he clearly knows how the pairing reads, because he names the accusation of self-interest directly in the post and answers it rather than ignoring it. So here is what I keep coming back to this morning. In each of these four, an organization puts something on the record that served its own interests poorly. More than 1,000 researchers put their real names on a request to be slowed down. Hugging Face published the complete anatomy of its own breach, including the detail that the two models it reached for first refused to help, and that its own alerting failed to wake anybody up. Moonshot shipped its weights and then wrote in its own paper that it still trails two models it does not own, and Dario Amodei published a position he must have known would be read as convenient. Disclosure is not the same thing as safety, but it is the precondition for it, and there was a remarkable amount of it in a single day. The Digest has 54 more items waiting, including a rather good benchmark on the blind spot in agent memory systems, and a careful walk through where linear attention actually comes from. I will be back tomorrow. Until then, be well and go read the primary source.